everybody, and we welcome you now. Am I switched on? Everybody hearing me okay? I'm getting the notes, okay. So I'll start again. Good night, good evening. Okay, we can go home now. Maybe I should have stayed at home tonight. Good evening, everybody, and welcome along to our Sunday evening services. It's evening service, even. It's one of these days. Norman, he's out tonight at Calvary Church. He's preaching over there. We do give a very warm welcome to John and Marn, who are down with us again. It's lovely to have John preaching for us the whole day. So thank you both for coming. Thank you, John, for your ministry today, and we're looking forward to the service this evening. Just one or two announcements, of course. Do keep up to date with what's going on in the church here. Next week, while the minister's still on sabbatical, next week his speakers will be Donald Martin, Reverend Donald Martin, I should say. He's coming in for the morning service, and in the evening it's David Murray from Peterhead. He's been with us a couple of times before, a wee while ago, so he's joining us for the evening service. A couple of meetings I'd just like to draw your attention to during the week. On Wednesday evening at 7:30, there's a Bible study. Reverend James McMillan from the Congregational Church in Peterhead will be coming to minister there. So do come along and join us for that meeting, 7:30 Wednesday evening. And then Thursday at 7 o'clock, the Ladies' Fellowship, Ladies' Monthly Fellowship, speaker is Mrs. Lynn Fivey. Just one last announcement. There is, of course, tea and refreshments after the service tonight, so, of course, you're most welcome to stay behind. I'm glad I got through all that without any further mistakes, so now I'll hand over to John.
Now, folks, it's good to be with you again this evening. Thank you for your warm welcome, Andrew, and for making us feel comfortable and at home with you throughout the course of today. Already. It's good to be together this evening and to be able to enjoy something of the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. And there is no love like his, is there? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? There will never be a sweeter story, story of a Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the furthest star away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Join with us in singing and praising God in the hymn, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Let's rise to sing this wonderful hymn together. There is a redeemer. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for all your love and kindness expressed to each and every one of us. We rejoice in your love and mercy and are so thankful this evening that we are enabled to come together into your house to join with one another, to lift high the name of Jesus, and to bring our praise and thanksgiving, the worship of our hearts before you. Now God, we do thank you this evening for your love for each and every one of us, a love that saw us in our weakness and our sinfulness, and yet a love that was willing to seek us out and to give of heaven's best in order that we might know the forgiveness of our sins and be at peace with you. Father, we thank you this evening for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus, the one of whom we've just been saying. We join our voices with those of the angels in heaven as we come to praise you for the work of grace and for the work of redeeming love that you sought and undertook through your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to leave the courts of heaven, to surrender your rights as a son, and be found humbled and in fashion as a man, and to give your life as a ransom for many. Father, we thank you because it's all of your great grace and nothing of our own doing or meriting. It comes to us simply as a gift of your grace, for we are so unworthy of the very least of your kindnesses. But we praise you tonight for that amazing love that reaches down and touches our lives. Our God, we thank you as we come before you this evening for your great faithfulness to us as your children, and acknowledge with heartfelt thanks all that you have done for us, all that you have provided for us, for the measure of health and strength that you give. We thank you for the friendship and fellowship of friend and family. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your word. Lord, we are so blessed by the many things that you do for us. And yet our thanks seem so weak and insignificant in return. And so afresh this evening, we bow before you and we bring ourselves to you and pray in earnest and humbly that you would be pleased to take us each one and use us as you wish for your honor and glory. Remember us as a church and people in these days. We're very conscious of the darkness of the world in which we live. We're very conscious, Father, that you have called us to be your witnesses into this darkness. And we pray that you will strengthen our hand as we would seek to bring the light of your word into the darkness of our world. Father, we pray for our pastor at this time and ask that during this time of sabbatical you will renew and refresh him, and that together we may be united as people and pastor together to serve you in these days. We thank you for the work that is carried on here in your name. Remember us for good tomorrow in the cafe. We pray that you'll remember the work of the children, Lord. Lord, we pray that as the women meet again in the course of the week in your will, that there will be a time of rich blessing and harvest amongst us as you come in the fullness of your Holy Spirit to work in the hearts and lives of men and women, young people, and boys and girls. To this end, our Father, we pray for the preaching of your word. And again, we would especially remember our brother Norman as he undertakes as your servant this evening. Be to him all that he needs, we pray, as he would serve you in the town this evening. And so, Father, we come with thankfulness, but we come needy to wait upon you and to know your infilling in our lives. Be pleased as we sing your praise, as we read your word, as we worship together, to pour into our hearts and lives more of your grace and more of your strength, that we might be indeed a people of God, that people called to serve you, a people who will bring honor and glory to your name. So bless us, we pray, as we meet together. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. By way of introduction this evening, I'm going to read a few verses from the book of Genesis as we find it in Genesis chapter 30 this evening. Genesis chapter 30, beginning to read at the first verse. We'll read probably the first 12 verses of the passage this evening. Just as a way of setting the scene of what we will think about a little later. Genesis chapter 30. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here has Bilhah, my maidservant, sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune," and she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy am I? The women call me happy." So she named him Asher. Amen, and may God bless his word to our hearts this evening. I'm going to invite you to sing again this evening. This time the hymn is, "There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fail." There is no love. Others may sing of treasures on earth, sing of its glitter and gold, but I have a theme of far greater worth. Exhaustless, it never grows old. He is the my song. He is my light from afar. Glory and praise to him all belong. He is my bright morning star. Strength for my weakness he doth impart. He is the joy of my longing heart. Pharaohs of Sharon is Jesus to me. He is the theme of my song. Precious the dew that falls from above, Welcome as dawn with its light, the story of Jesus, the story of love, brings ever increasing delight. He is the lovely theme of my song. He is my light from afar. Glory and praise shall to him belong. He is my bright morning star. Strength for my weakness he doth impart. He is the joy of my longing heart. Pharaohs of Sharon is Jesus to me. The theme of my song. This is the theme of my song, ever exhaustless to be. And while time shall last, and ages prolong, no theme can as wonderful be. He is the lovely theme of my soul. He is my light from afar. Glory and praise shall to him be. Is my bright morning star. Strength for my weakness he doth impart. He is the joy of my longing heart. Pharaohs of Sharon is Jesus to me. Of my song.
I think it's your turn to sing now. In moments like these, a lovely little simple song, in moments like these. Let's keep our seats as we sing through the words of this one together. Thank you. Moments like these, singing I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
you, folks, and thank you very much to Isabel there for playing for me. We've worked her hard tonight, so she'll deserve her tea and her fancy piece by the end of the night. So thank you, Isabel, very much. My text for this evening is actually found in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33, and it's in verse 24. And there we read the words about Asher. He said, "Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will be equal to your days." I'm sure we can all provide a great long list of characters from God's Word. Many are very, very well known. The book of Hebrews in chapter 11 has a whole list of what is known as the heroes of faith. And to that we can add people like the disciples, the Apostle Paul, Timothy, and so on. But there are many characters in God's Word of which very little is said or known. And one of them is Asher. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob. He and his brother Gad were born to the handmaid of Jacob's wife Leah. That's the portion that we read from the book of Genesis. And at his birth, Leah had said, "How happy am I? The women will call me happy." And she named this son Asher, which in itself means happy. But when you look at his early life, I'm not really all that sure how happy he was. He didn't have the honor of being the eldest in the family. That was a position that went to Reuben. Nor was he considered the strongest of his family. The strongest of the sons of Jacob was called Judah. And neither was he the favorite son in the family. From God's word, we know that that was Joseph. And it would seem that Asher lived his early life in the shadow of his brothers. Growing up in one of history's most dysfunctional families, Asher saw his fair share of parental favoritism, of sibling rivalry, of deceit, and even resentment. However, that does not nor could not excuse what he and his brothers subsequently did. Asher took part in something that was terribly wrong, joining in on the selfish, hard-hearted scheme to have his brother Joseph thrown into a pit and sold as a slave to a traveling caravan heading for Egypt. Later in his life, he would watch his father grieve over the loss of his son. And later still, with his partners in crime, he stood fearfully before the prime minister of Egypt, his brother Joseph. But somewhere along the line, things began to change in Asher's life. And I say that because of the legacy that he left in his family, as it seems to suggest this. When his father Jacob was preparing to die, he brought each of his 12 sons to his bedside, and one by one he gave them each a very special blessing, a special last word. In truth, some of the things that Jacob said to his children were not so kind, but for Asher, there was a quite a unique blessing. You'll find the details in Genesis chapter 49. And there in verse 20, it records the blessing that Jacob passed to Asher was, Asher's food will be rich. He will provide delicacies fit for a king. Now, I don't think that meant he was going to win MasterChef, but more likely, simply, that he would enjoy abundance and prosperity in his lifetime for himself and his family. If you move forward some 400 years, while the man himself has long departed from this scene of time, the tribe of Asher is still very much to the forefront in the history of the people of Israel. Israel were getting ready to go in and conquer the promised land. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, is preparing to die. But before he does, he too has a word of blessing to give to the 12 tribes. And you know this, for some reason, Asher is the last tribe that he speaks to. And this is what Moses said, most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will be equal to your days. That's quite an amazing thing to say about anyone, let alone a man like Asher, who started life so badly. Here was a man who, it seemed, was just a pretty average kind of person with nothing very great going for him. A man who made some huge mistakes in his early life. And yet Moses, that great man of God, would say, most blessed of sons is Asher. That's one of those Hebrew phrases that's very difficult to translate back into English. It could be, let Asher be blessed with children, as the King James Version puts it. In biblical times, blessedness was in that sense often measured by the number of your descendants, the strength of the tribe to which you belonged. And that well may be the thought behind the words of Moses. Certainly, if you go forward into the book of Numbers, we discover that the descendants of Asher were 41,000 fighting men, Numbers chapter 1. By the time a census was taken at the end of Numbers 26, that number had risen to 53,000. You can see how he's most blessed with sons and a great dynasty of people. There's something each one of us here might desire of that blessing too, and pray for in our life as well. Let me expand. Not so much that we would have physical children, but that God in his grace would increase our spiritual prosperity, that he would help us, you and me alike, to reproduce, in that sense, our faith in the lives of others, and bless us with spiritual children, children in the Lord. You remember how the Apostle Paul referred to Timothy? He called him his dear son in the faith, 2 Timothy chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks about my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Galatians 4. The conversion of these people to God was the fruit of much labor, many prayers, a great deal of tears, that the Apostle Paul looked upon them as his very own children. Many important things in life are the next generation matters that we face. And it's often been said, and I've heard it even said in this church, that the Church of Jesus Christ is just one generation away from extinction. Paul the Apostle invested himself in people whose spiritual influence would continue long after he was gone. Shouldn't we be good spiritual parents today who give ourselves to others and perhaps be the instrument God will use to bring them to a knowledge of the truth, not only in leading them to faith in the Lord Jesus, but in helping them, each and every one, to grow to spiritual maturity. I think back often on men of God who impacted my life with sometimes just a word, just a smile, or perhaps a letter. And I'm so thankful as I look back in life for those that God brought into my life that helped me to grow and to come to know him and indeed to love him better. Another thing that Moses speaks of in relation to the descendants of Asher is, let him be favored by his brothers. The word favored here means to approve, to be pleased with, to delight in. Asher would be liked and loved by his brothers. That was the promise of the blessing. There would be unity and harmony in his tribe, and indeed with the other tribes of Israel. You know, God's word has a lot to say about the blessing of having favor with others. Joseph was granted favor in prison. It's recorded of Samuel that he grew in favor with the Lord and men. The early church in Acts chapter 2 is discovered praising God and having favor with all the people. Psalm 133 speaks of how good it is when folks get along together. In the book of Proverbs, we read, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Oh, that we would pray that we might walk in peace and have favor with those around us. I know it's inevitable that we will have disagreements and disputes at times, but we should be first to seek reconciliation and to forgive. We are to show love for God as we would love his family. Paul, writing to the Romans, instructs us, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everything. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. May that unity come from our love and service to one another and be a fragrant grace among our families, our church, and our friendships. The third part of the blessing of Moses says, let him bathe his feet in oil. You know, back then, washing your feet was a constant need because of the dusty terrain. But I don't think Moses was speaking of a pedicure at a spa retreat. When Joshua divided up the promised land between the 12 tribes, he gave Asher a piece of land in the area of Galilee, where the soil was rich and olive trees flourished. The best olive trees in all Palestine, I am told, come from that region, the region that was Asher's land under the division made by Moses. I read that even today, one tree can produce as much as 15 gallons of olive oil in a single season. So I think you can understand, with that picture in mind, something of what Moses was saying here. It's abundance on a grand scale. I can't help but think that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, live in abundance as well. I'm not so sure about physical wealth as such, not material comforts so much as the spiritual blessings that are described in God's word as our riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about them for a moment. Some of them is listed in the book of Ephesians. The incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Think of the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Or in the book of Romans, where we read of the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience. And how God made the riches of his glory made known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory. Think also, if you will, on the fact that throughout Scripture, oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And surely that's one of our greatest riches and treasure today. The gift of God's Holy Spirit living within each one of us. The Spirit of God who brought us to new life in Christ when we were dead in our sins. And as we go about our daily lives, as we live out our lives before Him, He is our comforter, our helper, our guide. The Holy Spirit empowers our witness and testimony and gives us spiritual gifts to build up each other, to build up the body of Christ. It is that Spirit, that self-same Spirit, that gives us power to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Oh, how we need to bathe our feet in that oil. For without it, our souls will grow weak and weary, and our lives may sadly become ineffective for the Lord Jesus. As we allow God's Spirit to work within us, the beauty of God's indwelling presence will shine from our faces. Today, the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And yet I fear, and oftentimes I think of myself in this way, we fail to make full use of all that He has given to us. But if we would but ask, the Holy Spirit will lead us into a better understanding of God's Word and give assurance to us of God's keeping power, and in turn transform our lives into the image of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. But I want you just to note the final phrase of Moses' blessing. He says, The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will be equal to your days. This is a promise of military strength, of having that ability to stand against our enemies who will attack and try to destroy us. We will be enabled to withstand and overcome. Paul reminds us in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And in the history of God's people, the descendants of Asher did prove to be outstanding warriors in defending the nation of Israel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 7, we read all these descendants of Asher's, the head of families, choice men, and brave warriors, and outstanding leaders. We read of their victory and their military achievements on behalf of the people. That last part of verse 25 reads, "Your strength will equal your days." Or as other translations put it, "As your days, so shall your strength be." One translation even puts it this way, "May your strength last as long as you live." Just let that very familiar promise sink into our hearts and souls afresh this evening. We know that we're constantly under attack and confronted by difficulties of varying kinds. Our enemy, Scripture tells us, prowls around like a hungry lion in search of food. But God will give to us, give to his children, as we thought about this morning in a way, strength to resist the devil's attacks, strength to triumph over our adversary, strength to break through the difficulties of life. I'm under no illusion. It may be hard. It may hurt. We may not get the solution that we desire. But God comes to us with daily grace and strength, just as we need it. Speaking for myself, I know that I can easily fall into the trap of saying, "What if? And how can I? And why is this happening? And how can I cope? Where do I go from here?" Listen to that verse again. It simply says, "As your days, so shall your strength be." We don't get strength, dear saints, from our Savior, from our God, so much for tomorrow's trials as we get it for today. There's a beautiful hymn, and it says this, "My Father, this I ask of you, knowing that thou wilt grant the plea, for this and only this I pray, strength for today, just for today. Strength for each trial and each task. What more, my Father, should I ask? Just as I need it, day by day, strength for my weakness, this I pray." We may face hardship, grief, sickness, even in days to come, persecution. But don't worry about tomorrow, because as your days, so shall your strength be. Even at our lowest point, we can place our hope and trust in the Lord and find strength in him. He promises that for each and every day. Now, just before I finish, here's one more little gem in those two verses. soon after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. His parents brought him to the temple to present him to the Lord, and there they met an old woman named Anna. Listen to the gospel account. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage. 37, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You and I know that redemption wasn't just for Jerusalem, but for the whole wide world. Jesus, by his life and death and resurrection, brought redemption for every man, woman, and child, every father and every mother, every son and every daughter, every brother and every sister. You may have made mistakes in life, but from the story and the history of a man called Asher, from the word of God itself, we see that God can take and transform and give new life and a hope and a future to everyone. That's the message of the gospel. The child Anna spoke of, the gift of God, came into this world to give his life on a cross of Calvary so that we might know our sin forgiven, our past blotted out, our lives transformed by his amazing grace. The gospel singer George Jones sung these words: "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before." God can take the most unattractive and unworthy individual and turn that person, man, woman, or child, into a masterpiece of beauty and grace. Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers. Let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. Amen. We're going to sing in closing our final hymn together this evening: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Seek ye first the kingdom. Added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Proceed from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Father, we ask you to grant to us grace that we might be the people of God that you want us to be, that we may truly be your witnesses to this generation in which we live. We pray that you will continue with us as we fellowship the one with the other and bless our conversation together. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.